Are you or a loved one in the midst of a cancer diagnosis or bouncing back from your battle? Welcome to Thrive Through Cancer, the podcast that offers hope and healing and shares personal experiences, self-care solutions, health tips, and the support of a community of people just like you. I'm Susan Johnson, a functional nutritional therapy practitioner whose own son was diagnosed with cancer right before his third birthday. My job was to keep people healthy, to help them fight disease. So when my own son was diagnosed with this scary illness, it was so humbling. But rather than becoming a victim, I began researching. I up-leveled my knowledge and my mindset, and I chose to serve others through our own cancer journey. This show is an opportunity to find and share strength through our struggles. You'll hear from health professionals, innovative thinkers, beautiful personalities, and those who have learned to live life to the fullest despite their diagnosis. We'll raise some questions, find some answers, shed a few tears, share more than a few laughs, and give each other the motivation to get through one more day every single day. So join me in this journey and let's learn to thrive through cancer together. Follow us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your shows. Hello, welcome to the Thrive Through Cancer podcast. I'm your host, Susan Johnson, and I am so glad you're here. Listen, today we're going to get straight to the point. We are going to cover the most popular question that I receive. It's a question I hate. It's a question I despise. It's a question that always rips my heart wide open. The question is, my child has cancer, now what? And I hate it because, as you can imagine, it brings me right back to exactly what it felt like when my son was diagnosed with cancer. And I hate it because it means another child is getting cancer. So what we're going to talk about today in the podcast is we're going to talk about exactly what you should start to do to help your child thrive through cancer. Before we get into it, I want to remind you, you can have hope in your healing. You can feel well while fighting cancer, and ultimately you can thrive through cancer. So first and foremost, I always go to nutrition. What we fuel our bodies with will either feed or fight disease. There is plenty of science. There's plenty of evidence of this from centuries back. You know, we didn't really see cancer as a modern disease until the Industrial Revolution, which is when we really started manufacturing our food rather than growing our food. And our food started to be grossly produced using bad oils and flours and sugars and preservatives. And we started even growing in mass amounts, which required the use of things like chemicals and pesticides, because it was too much, of course, right, for a farmer to maintain on his own. And while there is need for growth and there's need for expansion, this is where we really started to see the decline in health. This is where we started to see things like heart disease and, of course, cancer and diabetes begin to develop. So first and foremost, we have to look at what we're feeding our kids. And we know that cancer is a metabolic disease, and this means that it has everything to do with what you're putting in your body, whether you're raising your glucose levels, which is feeding cancer, or whether you're helping the body get into what we call ketosis, which means that the body is actually burning fat as fuel. And here's something to understand about cancer. Healthy cells have the metabolic flexibility to use both fat and sugar as fuel. So healthy cells can use ketones, fat, or glucose, sugar. Most cancer cells cannot. They do not have the metabolic flexibility. They can only use glucose as fuel. And so if we looked at just that right there, when we're looking at our diet, wouldn't it make sense that the first thing we do is we eliminate glucose and we increase healthy fats? Now, I have plenty of resources I will link in the show notes to help you get started with following a diet that will be increased in healthy fats coming from healthy animal sources, healthy plant sources, and eliminating glucose. Now, of course, we need some glucose. Our brain depends on it. Different organs depend on it. Glucose is necessary. It's the type of glucose. And so number one, our glucose should come from fresh, organic, locally grown fruits and vegetables. We don't need our glucose from starches and grains. It can come from fresh, organic vegetables and fruits. So if we were to kind of simplify this, and you might be getting started with your health journey and you're wondering, okay, my child has cancer, or perhaps you just want to step into a healthier life and nobody has cancer in your family, but you're trying to create an environment that cancer can't survive in. The three things that I would immediately eliminate from your home are vegetable and seed oils, refined flours, and toxic ingredients. So let me break these down for you. Number one, vegetable and seed oils are incredibly inflammatory. They actually create oxidation in the body. Oxidation is if you were to bite an apple and then you set your apple on the counter, that apple that was bitten into where the bite was turns brown. That is an unhealthy state. That's what happens inside at a cellular level. And that's where cancer cells can thrive. So vegetable and seed oils, canola oil, rapeseed oil, which is the same thing, by the way, soybean oil, corn oil, sunflower oil, safflower oil, peanut oil. These are all oils that are vegetable and seed oils that are not meant for human consumption. And yes, they're in plenty of packaged foods, even organic packaged foods. So avoiding these is going to help. And what you would do in avoiding these types of oils, number one, start reading all your labels and ingredients. Number two, replace them with healthy forms of fat. My favorite being ghee, which is clarified butter, real butter from an organic cow. You can use beef tallow. You can use duck fat. You can use coconut oil. These are all healthy saturated fats that you can also cook with at higher temperatures. And that's important. Olive oil is wonderful if it's a true, pure source of olive oil. But using olive oil and avocado oil as a saute at low temperatures or salad dressing is the best way to use that. Otherwise, those can also become oxidated in the body if they're heated to high temperatures. So coming back, we're going to cut out vegetable and seed oils. We're going to incorporate healthy fats like butter or ghee. If you have a dairy intolerance, you're going to choose ghee over butter. You're going to look at either beef tallow or duck fat. You can use either or both. Coconut oil is a great option. And then you can use olive oil and avocado oil with very low temp cooking or as salad dressings. So that's number one. Number two is refined flours. What this means is these flours are actually man-made and they've added synthetic B vitamins and synthetic iron and different ingredients into the flour. And this is, we find these products are pastas, crackers, cookies, cakes, pancake mixes, anything that has been a refined flour or product produced thereof. So when we think of flour, number one, if you're in an active cancering process, I recommend removing all gluten from your diet. It is not a helpful thing during an active cancering process because we trigger a zonulin response in the body and that creates inflammation. It is not ideal. Now, if you are healthy and you're working on creating an environment cancer can't survive in, I'm okay with you doing a truly fermented sourdough and using only organic ingredients. We'll put in the show notes a link to help you get started with truly fermented sourdough. But in an active cancering process, we want to avoid all wheat products. Now, you might be thinking, well, what about all the gluten-free flours that are out there? Unfortunately, many times those are worse. You've maybe heard me say that cocaine is also gluten-free. Doesn't mean it's healthy. And you're going to find, actually, if you look at the back of a bag, of gluten-free flour, and you look at the ingredients, I think you'll be shocked how many ingredients are in gluten-free flour. And oftentimes we find things like corn, which is not from an organic source. And most corn, especially in the United States, has been genetically modified. We find different starches and binders that are just not helpful for healing the gut. So when we think of foods we want to avoid, we really want to avoid all refined flours. We want to avoid even gluten-free flours. What could be a helpful alternative if you're wanting to bake is an organic almond flour. You can use organic coconut flour. These are two options. And then there's another one. It's not as popular. It's called tiger nut flour. And while I haven't played around with it a whole lot, I have occasionally used it in recipes to bake cookies. So these are going to be better options than any refined flour. Now, the next thing that we talked about with the three main things to avoid or remove from your home is toxic ingredients. Now, while this list could be hundreds of things long, right? I want to hit on a few that really stand out and unfortunately are in everything from sweet treats to condiments, pickles, and you even will find it in chips and nuts sometimes. And this is food coloring. Any artificial food coloring needs to be avoided. This is one of the scarier ingredients that's been created in, you know, really the last 100 years. And it's so toxic to the body. They actually show the neurological changes that happen when children consume something like Red 40, which is the red food dye. So avoiding artificial food coloring is going to be essential for creating an environment cancer can't survive in. The other thing we want to avoid is high fructose corn syrup. This is a really toxic ingredient. Again, you'll be so surprised where it hides. It hides in bread. It hides in condiments. It hides in things like pickles. It hides in things like chips. Of course, in sweet treats as well. But a lot of times when we're not reading labels, we're often caught off guard of where some of these toxic ingredients can hide. So I'm a big fan of always, always, always reading labels. Now, the next thing that is a really toxic ingredient, and it has become outlawed in different countries, is monosodium glutamate. And this is MSG. This is a flavor enhancer that actually is quite addictive. And it's kind of, it has the, we sometimes say the MSG effect. And that means that you can't just stop at one. So maybe you're eating some chips and you're like, oh my gosh, these are so addicting. And that's when we would say the MSG effect. And sure enough, many times the ingredients label shows monosodium glutamate or MSG. This is a really toxic ingredient, creates inflammation in the body. It can create free radicals, which is cancer causing. It is not helpful at all. And in most Chinese restaurants, whether it be a fast food Chinese restaurant or a sit down, often this is a common ingredient to enhance flavor. Now, a natural form of MSG, I always say, is actually just adding real salt, sea salt, or Himalayan salt. This will always enhance flavor. Another thing you can do to savory dishes is add nutritional yeast. This is another food or flavor enhancer. Now, the next thing we want to avoid, especially when we are working on creating an environment cancer cannot survive in, is nitrates. Now, nitrates are used as a preservative and they are incredibly toxic to the nervous system, to the gut, and there have been links of certain specific cancers being linked to nitrates. Now you'll find this often in preserved meats. And I am not a fan of commercially produced and preserved meats like lunch meats and jerky. It is so full of sodium and unhealthy levels, as well as preservatives like nitrates. In fact, you'd be surprised, a lot of preserved meats actually also have food coloring and high fructose corn syrup in it. Many cancer parents wish there was more they could do to help their child thrive through their diagnosis. They're sick of dealing with the side effects from treatment, low ANC, and unplanned hospital stays, not to mention having to often resort to the Band-Aids that are currently offered, but they don't always work. At best, they provide temporary results that sadly rarely last. Although I'm now the go-to expert for many cancer families, it took my own journey with my son to learn how to help families thrive today. And oddly enough, what I learned and put into action was so counterintuitive that I didn't mention to anyone at first what I was doing. I thought I'd be ridiculed because it was different. It challenged convention, but it worked. Finally, my community of cancer parents had a simple and proven method to help their child thrive without extra medication, without forcing their child to eat something they didn't want to, without interfering with doctors' protocols or breaking the bank. I call it the Thrive Through Cancer formula. And if you'd like to see how it works,
and why it's more effective than most options out there, then I invite you to watch a brand new online training where I show you exactly how my clients have achieved lasting results following this unique process. You can watch it by going to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Inside, I'll share the leading cause of our kids feeling unwell during and after treatment and what we can do about it. I'll share why cancer parents who want to enhance their child's quality of life should avoid keeping their child in a sterile environment. There's a much more powerful and natural way to help support their child's immune system. I'll share the unexpected reason why kids with cancer have a hard time avoiding inpatient stays and how to change it. So much more will be shared in this webinar, and you've already taken the first step by just listening to this. So please take the next step and watch the free training today. Go to bit.ly/yourthriveformula. That's bit.ly/yourthriveformula. Now, back to our show. Now, we're a big fan of beef jerky in my home. My family loves beef jerky, and they also love something called beef bacon. Now, they love real bacon too, but we don't eat that very often because we don't typically consume pork. Pork, in my opinion, just is not a helpful food. There's not enough nutrients to make it beneficial. So we prefer red meat, like steak or lamb, but we found a wonderful beef bacon. And if you're in the United States, I'll put a link in the show notes to Wild Pastures. That's our favorite place in the US to purchase clean meat, but make sure you get their beef bacon. It's phenomenal. But when you are using preserved meats, or I should say consuming, you need to make sure you're either doing it on your own, or you're consuming it from a company that is doing it well. And Wild Pastures, for example, they use all natural ingredients to create their beef bacon. My husband just made a fresh batch of jerky the other day, and literally all you do, you guys, it is so simple. And I don't know about you, but I feel like beef jerky is, the prices are on the rise. And we live in Mexico, and it's actually quite difficult to find beef jerky here at all. But you buy a roast, a rump roast, any type of roast. Usually the cheaper roasts are great for jerky. And you're going to just thinly slice it and you season it with whatever you want. You can add some honey. He's before melted honey and did like a honey pepper flavor. He's done a savory flavor. So use whatever spices and seasonings you want. And then you put it in the dehydrator. And now when you're making your own jerky, you're generally going to consume it fairly quickly. And I encourage you to keep it in the fridge. It's not usually super shelf stable, which means it's fresh and it doesn't have the preservatives. But these are things that people just don't realize. It's actually really, it's simple and it's a lot cheaper to make your own jerky. Now, lunch meats, this is so tricky. It's really difficult to find a good quality lunch meat that, again, hasn't had preservatives added, nitrates added, food coloring, sugar. You would be so shocked if you looked at the back, if you went to your refrigerator right now and you grabbed your organic turkey meat and look at the ingredients, it might really surprise you. And remember, listen, you guys, when you know better, you do better. And then I always like to encourage you and say, but when you do know better, it's your obligation to do better for your family, right? So when we're looking at lunch meat, this is, again, it's just tricky to find a good quality lunch meat without any preservatives. And so what I recommend instead is on Mondays or Sunday afternoons, cooking a roast, whether it be a whole chicken or some sort of a beef roast that you want to have prepared, and you eat off throughout the week. You make sandwiches with it. You can slice it up thin and have it available for snacks, bowls, or even a sandwich. Now, let's talk about that really quick since I kind of diverted to sandwich. There are options for creating what we call a healthy sandwich. You can use a lettuce wrap. You can use there's an ingredient for a lentil wrap that you can create. I'll actually put the ingredients, I'll link to the ingredients for this delicious lentil wrap in the show notes. You can create almond flour bread as well. So there's a company called Siete and they make almond flour tortillas. This is something my kids have come to love for a quick, easy snack. In fact, today my daughter made for breakfast a couple quesadillas with our organic raw cheese from our farm here, and she put it on siete tortillas. So there are ways to get around using bread when you want to have something like a sandwich. So anyways, back to nitrates, we want to make sure we're avoiding those. And then finally, when we think of toxic ingredients, I could spend a lot of time on this alone, but I just want to encourage you to keep it simple. And one of the ways to do that is if you cannot pronounce an ingredient, it usually means it was made in a lab and it's not natural. So if you can't pronounce it, don't eat it. Okay. Now you can always Google it and find out what exactly is this ingredient. And perhaps it's just a longer word and it is normal, but I rarely find that a word that I can't pronounce is something that I should be eating. I rarely find that. So I just want to encourage you to continue reading labels and just make sure that you understand the value of what you're putting in your body. And I want to give you this example. If you had a Lamborghini, you won't go to the gas station and put unleaded fuel in it, would you? No. You spend a lot of money on that machine, and you know if you put unleaded fuel, it's not going to run that great, and eventually it's going to break down, and it's going to cost you a lot of money to fix it. So why on earth would you take a shortcut with your health? You've got one shot at this. And if you're a parent of a child fighting an illness and something like cancer, it is time to go all in. We don't get second chances at life. Now, I think we get grace. I think we get new opportunities, but we've got this body one time. We were given one shot at this life. And you're going to take better care of your car than your health. That's backwards. So while you may balk at the time it may take or the money it may cost to fuel your body with ingredients that will fight disease and not feed disease, I don't know if you think twice about the time it takes to clean your car, the money it takes to put the super fuel into your car, but this is about your life or your child's life. So go all in. And just in conclusion, I know this is short, but I really wanted to help you. I get this question so many times, Susan, my baby has cancer. Where do I start? And while there's millions of supplements, sure, that could be a good idea. And there's hundreds of detox therapies, and there's all of these different things, which I'm a big advocate for. And in my Thrive Through Cancer Formula program, I teach families how to do this every day. We spend time walking them through supplements and detox therapies, but none of that is going to make as big of an impact as it needs to if you don't first change what you're eating. I say it all the time, you cannot supplement your way out of a bad diet. And we are eating more than we're taking supplements, and we're eating more often than we're doing detox therapies. And so what you put in your body has so much to do with your ability to heal. And so a couple other notes that I want to encourage you, if your child has cancer, or again, if you are caretaking for somebody that has cancer, maybe it's your spouse, or maybe you are wanting to create an environment cancer can't survive in. Here's a few extra tips that I think will be really helpful. Number one, at breakfast, let's take the information we just learned and let's replace sugar with fat at breakfast. So let's take that cereal and toast and glass of orange juice and replace it with scrambled eggs cooked in butter, adding a little bit of organic raw cheese if necessary and a little avocado. The next thing I would encourage you to do is replace screen time with outside time. There is so much science behind fresh air, behind grounding, the way that it can stimulate your lymphatic system, the way that it helps your vagus nerve, the way that it improves oxygen to your cells. In contrary, there's a lot of research that shows exposure to electromagnetic frequencies and screens and blue light can actually pose problems in our healing journey. The other thing I would encourage you to do is to ask for help. If you have never had a better, let me just say it this way, you've never had a better opportunity to ask for help. than when you are walking through a devastating diagnosis. People want to help, but they don't know how. They don't know how to show up for you. So you have to often tell them. There's very few people, and maybe you know them, that will just show up on your doorstep unannounced without being prompted and meet a need. Most of us need direction. Please ask for help. It's a perfect opportunity to say, hey, you know what? Would you be willing to run some errands? I have a grocery list. I can text you and ask them to run your errands, pick up your groceries. Maybe you send them a meal plan. I have my 3-day meal plan that's totally free. I'll put the link to that in the show notes. You send that to them and say, would you be willing to make a couple recipes off this for my family this week? Maybe you ask them to come over and do your laundry and sit and talk with you while you're caring for your loved one. Maybe you ask them to babysit so you can go on a date with your spouse. Maybe you ask them if they would just go on a walk with you so you can talk and you can just kind of get all of the junk out of your heart, out of your soul, and dump it where somebody wants to help you carry it. And then the other thing I would say is make sure you do find a functional practitioner to partner with. You aren't meant to do this on your own. Like I said before, there's so much information out there. There's so many supplements people talk about, so many therapies, so many different things that can be done. And while your oncologist knows chemotherapy, they know radiation, they know surgery, they receive no more than 7 hours of nutrition in medical school. They receive no hours in herbs, in plant medicine, in detox. And so this is why you have to build a team. You have to advocate for yourself and for your family. And you build a team and you find a functional practitioner that will come alongside of you and help you navigate this windy, messy, bumpy road. And if you're a parent that has a child with cancer, I can help you do that through my Thrive Through Cancer formula program. Then you'll find the information to that in the show notes. You can even get on a call with a team member of ours and just chat with them to find out if this is a good fit for you. But regardless of where you're at, I want to encourage you to find a functional practitioner to build your healing team. It can't just be the oncologist. I want you to know that I am praying for you. In fact, before I do these podcasts, I pray for you. And hanging up from this one, I'm going to also pray for you. I'm going to pray that every single person listening to this feels hope in their healing, that you feel empowered, you don't feel overwhelmed, and that you feel a peace, and you feel the promise that God will sustain you. I hope you have a beautiful day, friends. Thank you for listening. And I hope I get to see you next week, or at least virtually drop in to your podcast next week.